We think about that scripture reading from tonight in James chapter 1. Something becomes evident from the language. When James talks about the outward trials that we're going to face in life, he does not speak about if they come, but when they come. As we begin speaking about facing storms of life, you might think about facing the trials of life. Think about suffering persecution as the Christians of the first century. We begin to think about maybe problems that we're going to endure as we go through life. Difficulties that await us, difficulties that for some might make them question their faith, might make them wonder about God and if He cares for them, might wonder, why are all of these things coming upon me? And when we begin to realize, James tells us it's a matter of when the trials come and not if, that's the first step in being able, I believe, to handle them as we go through life. We have a problem when we begin to think God is placing something upon me and me only. We have a problem when we begin to think I'm the only one that's ever known these types of problems or these types of difficulties in our lives. We begin to think that there's something special or unique that is happening to us. When in fact, it's important for us to remember trials and problems and difficulties of life are something that come upon all people. If we live long enough, where we get up to any age, maybe even by, I don't know where I'd place that age at, I'm sure if I asked some of the high schoolers, they'd say, well, I've had certain problems in my life. I've gone through some trials. If I asked a few of you that were a little bit older, you'd certainly probably think about a number of circumstances of your life. They're common to man. They're something that are going to happen. And so we recognize we might as well think about what we're going to do with them, because they're going to come. And when we realize that, one important step is we realize there's something I need to do before the storm. Many of these thoughts that we're going to talk about tonight were kind of written or first thought of back in about 2008. Remember in 2008, there was a certain hurricane that hit the Texas coast, Hurricane Ike. A hurricane that did great damage, and yet as I was looking at that storm and the days before and the days after, there were a lot of different spiritual applications that I began to think about. And we began to think first about what do we do before the storm. And what we need to do spiritually is oftentimes much the same that we need to do in terms of a physical preparation as well. So before the storm, what are we going to do? Before the trials, the difficulties of life, maybe when things are still going well, we know we're going to face them at some point. And so what are we going to do now to prepare for those future storms? Number one, and an answer that's going to be noticed every different point we look at, we pray. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, we pray without ceasing. Notice Paul never tells somebody, when problems and difficulties come in your life, that's when you need to turn to God. And yet when we look around at the world around us, and sometimes even if maybe we look at our own selves, are we not tempted to do that very thing? We think when things are going well, when we have no problems necessarily at this moment in time, we become rather self-reliant. Think everything's going fine. We may even begin to think that we're doing this all on our own. And yet, there's a reminder there. Even when things are going well, we need to be praying to God. Praying to God, thanking Him for the things that are going well. Praying to God that we have the strength, the courage to face future trials that may come our way. praying to God that we are basically seeking Him constantly. Not just during the bad times of our lives, not just when things are going wrong, but at all times. Pray without ceasing. Right along with that, we need to understand that we need to be building a solid foundation. You know, when that hurricane was focused squarely on the Texas coast, there were just a few days of real warning that left those homeowners much time to do anything. There certainly was no time to go through and build up the foundations of their homes, such as it were. Maybe there was time to go through and board up the windows and bring in some things out of the lawn, or maybe even to evacuate from their homes. There were some times of preparation there. They knew the storm was coming, and again, spiritually, we know there are storms that are going to come in our lives. And so they did all that they could, but there wasn't time to go through and let's add some new pillars to the house to make it firm. Let's go through and build up go back through how our home was built and put in some hurricane straps that are going to help hold the house to the foundation. There wasn't time for all of those things. That foundation that they were going to be trusting in to hopefully help hold their homes firm and upright together, those already had to be in place before the storm hit. Such is the case even spiritually. We know that storm's going to come, and so what are we going to do before it's on top of us? Now I want to sidestep just for a moment. And understand that sometimes the reason we face some problems and difficulties in our lives is because we bring it on ourselves. There are some people that go through life worrying about storms that are never going to come. They can spend their lives worrying and fretting over what might have happened, what happened in the past that can no longer be changed. And so we go through life worrying, fretting constantly over all of these things over which we have no control. I think how smart would it be when you have all of the hurricane predictions that are pointing a hurricane square at the coast of Texas. As a homeowner in Florida, I'm not necessarily going to be boarding up my windows. Every time a little tropical depression forms in the Gulf Coast, I can't really board everything up, bring everything in, evacuate for storms that may disappear, storms that may go other directions, storms that may never materialize. And yet many people do that spiritually. Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 34, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." You know, those one thing I like to watch, and I don't necessarily know why, but I love to watch the hurricane prediction models. You've seen this cone shape. They've got lines usually where they think that hurricane's going to go, but the further away from the eye of that storm you get, the broader this predicted path might be. And all they're kind of guessing is we think it might fall somewhere in this range. I remember watching those predictions of Ike, and just a few days even before the storm, it was totally going to miss the Texas coast and go into Mexico as far as they predicted. Before it turned, and once again it was squarely going towards Texas. And the point I'm trying to make there is we can go through life worrying and fretting about things that are never going to happen and never materialize. You can imagine someone on the Gulf Coast constantly putting up, taking down, putting up, taking down shutters or plywood on their windows to protect their home over storms that are never going to come. They're wasting their time. They're spinning their wheels. And so we have to be warned, yes, about fretting about the things of the future. Nevertheless, what I'm talking about is expecting storms that are going to come in our lives. There are some preparations that we can and should make, especially in a spiritual sense, knowing that those things are going to come. Let's go first to Matthew chapter 7. We talk about this idea of a foundation. You're familiar with the words of Jesus Christ. He has just been speaking. He has said in verse 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." He's giving us instructions there that we're to be putting God's Word into action in our life. And he goes on, we're going to drop down to verse 24 and following. He says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." What's the difference in those two situations? They faced the same storms. They faced the same floods that were coming their way. I propose to you the only difference they faced was their foundation. We ask ourselves, are we building a life of faithfulness upon God? You see, that foundation was built, that foundation was laid long before that storm ever came. And so when the storm did come, the house that had already been built upon that firm foundation was the house that was going to stand, the house that was going to last. The house that did not have the adequate preparation was the one that was going to fall. I'm reminded of pictures that we saw in the aftermath of Hurricane Ike, and you could see stretches of coastline where once were homes, houses that lined the coast, and now there was nothing. And all of a sudden, there'd be one house. One house standing secure. It survived. And ultimately, many of the times, the difference was in the foundation. There was a home that was anchored to withstand the winds that were going to come, the storm that was going to come. The time before the storm is the time to build up that foundation. The time before the storm is to anchor our faith firm and secure in Jesus Christ. We think about that reference in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. "Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is entered for us, even Jesus." And so the time before the storm is the time to make sure, are you anchored? Are you built upon that firm foundation? Are we putting our faith, are we putting our trust in Jesus Christ? Are we continually, are we going constantly to God in prayer? Are we trusting in Him? Are we relying on Him? Those are things that we build up before the storm comes to help us weather them. But then what are we going to do during the storm? You see, now all your time of preparation is gone. When the winds and the waves began beating upon those homes in the Texas Gulf Coast, it was too late to try to run out there and hammer up some boards on those windows. It was too late to try to secure the foundations. It was too late to try to build up these fortifications. It was too late to try to build or buy supplies because they were already sold out. And so now what are you going to do? Pray. The storm's already right on top of you. I'm already going through problems and difficulties. I'm already struggling in my life. Maybe my faith seems to be wavering. What am I going to do? Once again, pray. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Philippians 4 and verse 6. A God who calls upon us and says, "Casting all your burdens upon me, for He cares for you." In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12 and following, make sure I have the right reference there. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12 through 13. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? You know, sometimes there are people that are in the storms of life want to call out, want to pray to God. The people that have no desire to do anything with God. A people that have shown no desire to be faithful unto God, to learn of Him during the times before the storm, before the difficulties they face in life. And now all of a sudden think that God owes them, that I ought to just be able to go before Him, put these requests before Him, and yet when I'm done with Him, I can walk away and forget Him once again. But Peter reminds us, who are the eyes and the ears of the Lord over? But the righteous, His people. If we've already built that firm foundation before the time of the storm, then when we're weathering that storm, we have that avenue of communication. We have that prayer line that we know we can go before God. We know that He cares for us. We know that He knows the difficulties of life. And so Peter reminds us, what a great privilege it is that I know I can go before God and bring Him all of these cares, all of these petitions. Nothing is too big. Nothing is too great. But if we think we can do it all by ourselves, if we think that we can stand the tests and the storms of life without God, we have fooled ourselves. We set ourselves up for a great destruction. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. A reference back to Israel who trusted more in themselves than in God. Because when they looked at Canaan, they said, we can't do it. Even as Caleb and Joshua pleaded with him, you're right, we can't do it, but we can with the hand of God. They said, no, we can't do it. We don't trust in God. We don't believe in Him as we should. They looked at their own arms of flesh and said, we can't do it. So trusting in themselves, they were going to fall. We have to pray to God and continue to trust in Him. I would suggest also when those storms of life come, we have to hold on. You know, that's when having that anchor, that's when having that firm foundation is going to help. Do we have any trust in God? Do we already know that He's there for us? Do we already know that His ears are open unto our petitions? Cling to that faith, to that foundation we've already built up. You know, I'm reminded of news reports during Hurricane Ike that there were some that remained on Galveston Island. So we're just going to weather the storm in place. We're not going to flee. And then those tear-wrenching stories began to come forth. That hurricane swept through my house. The floodwaters came in and I had to find something within my home and cling to it. There were some that were able to cling to their homes. There were others who could not. The reports were they were swept out of their house. The fortunate ones were swept out of their house, washed sometimes miles down the shoreline and were able to be rescued. Some, I'm sure, were not so fortunate. Are we going to be able to have that anchor? Are we going to be able to hold on when the storms of life come? Not without first having that firm foundation we should have already built upon. Then also, not only just cling, we're going to have to hold on, but we're going to have to cling to God. Be turning, if you will, Matthew chapter 14. Came across a quote or an account a few years ago talking about the storms of life. If we recognize they're going to come, if we recognize they happen to all, then there might be an attitude change that happens in our life. It's written by a mother, and she said, one night my young son Ryan was sleeping and a storm began brewing outside. After a loud clap of thunder, I heard him wake up, so I headed down to his room to comfort him. He asked me to stay with him until he fell asleep. And as I lay there, I realized he hadn't asked me to make the storm go away, but to stay with him. How many times I wondered, have I asked God to take away the storms of life when instead I needed to ask Him to stay with me and help me weather them more peacefully? Remember James 1, 2 through 4? When the storms of life come. And we're going to see in a moment even those storms can be beneficial if we'll allow them as opportunities to grow. Peter learned something about a storm. In Matthew chapter 14, the apostles are going to see Jesus walking toward them on the sea. And Peter is going to say, Lord, if it be You, bid me to come to Thee and walk on the water, verse 28. And Jesus said, come, verse 29. When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Even in the midst of a troubled sea, Peter is walking on the water. The storm at this point is insignificant. Because at this point, his faith, his trust is in Christ. But notice, beginning in verse 30 and 31, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore did thou doubt? Peter lost faith when he focused on the storm instead of upon the one that could sustain him. And unfortunately, many people, if we don't have that firm foundation of faith, if we don't have that firm foundation that's built upon Jesus Christ and following Him, if we don't have that firm foundation upon trust and faith in God, then when the storms come, we're going to concentrate more on them than on God. We're going to wonder, is there a God? And why would God allow these things to happen to me? And many other questions that can enter into our mind. But at least when Peter started to sink in that storm, he remembered the one that could help him and was willing to call out to him. He clung to Jesus Christ. He reached out for him and he pulled him back up out of the water. That is, Jesus pulled Peter back up out of the water. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Do you not know by this point Peter knows that very personally? God cares for you. He cares about the troubles, the trials, the things that you're going through in life. He's interested in it. And yet He also recognizes these things are going to happen in life. He writes to the churches in Revelation chapter 2, in verse 10 we read, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. There are going to be problems. There's going to be difficulties that you're going to have to bear up under, that you're going to have to cling to God under. But be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Oftentimes can think about Paul. And there are so many things that we could look at in his life. Things that he endured. Things that he suffered. And you think, why didn't he ever quit? Why didn't he just give up? I mean, there's a man that knew something about storms in his life, that knew something about persecutions and trials and even his own brethren sometimes turning against him. Why didn't he give up? Same man that was able to write in Romans 8 and verse 18, for I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. I'm going to go through some struggles and trials, but ultimately, I'm not looking at them. I'm looking forward to the eternal rest, to the eternal home that I can have with God. And the glory that I'm going to enjoy there makes whatever I went through in life seem as insignificant. It's something that doesn't matter. But then also cling to one another. Is it not a blessing? Is it not something that we should appreciate dearly? That no matter what our relationship is with our physical family, we have a spiritual family. Brothers and sisters in Christ that care for one another, that want to help one another through the storms of life. Jesus told us in John chapter 15 and verse 12 that we love one another even as I have loved you. Time and again, we're going to be reminded that there should be a love one for another as we are brothers and sisters in Christ. He's going to tell us in Galatians 6 and verse 2, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. He is going to say later in that same chapter, we can bear our own burdens, but there are different words used here. One that you can bear on your own and another that is a difficult, weighty burden, one that you need help with. Help one another. Support one another. Encourage one another. When we see one another going through the difficulties of life, maybe even we're going through them together. Do you not remember what Paul said? We studied a few weeks ago on Sunday mornings in 1 Corinthians 12. As he's speaking about the church as a body, and in verse 26 he says, whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that do weep. Care for one another. Encourage one another. Even as we've built upon that foundation, as we're going through the storms of life, I would also suggest to you this is a time to learn and to grow. Think about another storm that Paul faced in his life. Again, a literal storm in Acts chapter 27. A storm in which the people that were on the ship with Paul were fearing even for their very life. And in Acts 27 and verse 25, he's going to say, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be, even as it was told to me. Learn to trust God even more. Paul says, God has told me that there shall not be a loss of life if you follow His instructions, and I believe Him. I trust Him. Paul's faith was going to grow even deeper, and he had an opportunity there to show that to a whole ship of people. He was going to trust in God even in difficult times of his life. James is going to remind us that brethren, we're to count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations, outward trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Storms are going to be a time in which it helps us to grow stronger. They help us to develop our faith. They remind us of our dependence upon God. They're going to be a reminder, yes, I don't do this alone. Philippians 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Paul never claimed that he was able to do the things that he did all on his own. He trusted in God. He was dependent upon God and he followed Him. David was one also that knew problems, the new difficulties in life. He would write in Psalm 37, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. He reminds us first and foremost, don't fret, don't worry about those that are causing you problems. Is it others of the world that are bringing these problems upon you? Don't worry about it. Fret not. Instead, he says in verse 3 and 4, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of your heart. Are you going to trust God? Let Him handle the situation. Commit your ways unto Him, he says in verse 5 and 6. Verse 5 and 6. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Trust in God to make things right. Vengeance is His. He will take care of those that cause us trouble in this life. He's going to watch over us as we go through the various other difficulties we may endure in life. Verse 7. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Don't worry about those that are doing wickedly. Take comfort in God. Verse 8, cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any way to do evil. Make sure when you're going through those storms, you don't do something you're going to regret. That you take upon yourself the vengeance, if you will, of those that may be bringing the trouble upon you. Verse 9 and 10, wait on the Lord. For evildoers shall be cut off. God will deal with the problems. But those that wait on the Lord, that put their confidence in Him, that allow Him to do these things in His own time, those that wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth for yet a little while. And the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. Remember, he's going to handle it, and he's going to do it in his own time. The psalmist is reminded, I am always going to trust in God no matter what happens. Someone once said, who's the stronger tree? Is it the tree that has grown up sheltered? Is it the tree that has never had to search for water? Is it the tree that's never been bent over a little by the wind? Or is it the one whose roots have gone deep into the earth searching for water? Is it the one, because of the winds that have blown, has trained its roots so it goes deep and holds it firm and secure? James reminds us the benefits of going through outward trials in our life is going to increase our patience. Count it all joy when you fall into these diverse temptations, because the trying of your work, or the trying of your faith, worketh patience. There is benefit that comes out of these things. Are you not going to grow even as a Christian? Are these not going to help you develop to be stronger? Maybe even to help you deal with some future problems that you might face in life? So endure. Cling to God, cling to one another, and also he says there, trust and grow in your confidence in God. But what about after the storm? I've made the preparation. I've tried to build firm that foundation. The storm has come. Now it's blown over. What do I do? Number one, you pray to God. Colossians 4 and verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same in thanksgiving. Are we thankful when the trials of life are over? What about when Hurricane Ike was over? Do you think there were some that went out and thanked God for the safety? Maybe of their life, maybe of some of their possessions. That they had endured that storm. After we are through the storms of life, are we going to be thankful? Are we going to continue in prayer to God? Are we going to say, well, that's over, I'll see you next problem. I'll see you next time something comes up. We have to continue in prayer. I would suggest also we have to take inventory. Look back. See what happened. See where you excelled. See where you failed. After the storm is over, can you imagine people now exiting their home? Driving back into their neighborhoods, maybe. And they're wanting to see what stood, what fell. What survived, what did I lose? I want to salvage those things together that survived, that I can keep. I want to see what was strong and I want to see what was weak, and we have to do the same spiritually. Okay, I went through the storms of life. Was my faith shaken or did it hold firm? I went through some persecutions of life. Was I tempted to give up or did I remain strong? I faced some temptations. Did I hold up under those temptations or did I give way to sin? Take inventory. See what happened. Paul would say, examine yourselves. Whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. How did I do? How did I hold up? What are some areas that I did good in that I need to keep doing good in? And what are some areas that showed I'm going to have to work in that area? Going to have to work in my trust in God. I'm going to have to work at holding on and being faithful. I'm going to have to work at standing against temptations. If we'll take an honest inventory of ourselves, we're going to allow the Word of God to be a mirror in our lives that's expressed in James 1, about verse 23 through 25. We're going to see what manner of persons we are. How did I hold up? Some areas that are good, there's some areas that need work, there maybe some other areas need a lot of work. Instead of just forgetting those, taking inventory is going to help us deal with those. Now we go back to the first step. Now we begin again to build that foundation, to make sure it's firm and secure upon Jesus Christ. Keep perspective. Remember that there are some things that we can be thankful for, some things in which we need to be satisfied. Again, Paul went through a lot of difficulties in life. And yet he would say, "For I have learned in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. Whether I abound or whether I was abased, I could be content knowing that I was walking with God." Are we able to look back at a storm we've gone through and be thankful for being able to endure it? Thankful that we knew God was there and listening all of the time. Thankful that we had others that were able to support us and encourage us. Keep perspective. Sometimes people think, "Oh, I faced these storms of life and it was just so bad and everything was just so difficult." But think about the good things. Think about the benefits. Think about the blessings. Yes, you went through a storm of life, but just as they're sure to come, they're sure to pass. Do you not have some things in life that you can still be thankful for? And then finally, use what we have learned both for ourselves and for others. Be an example. Job suffered a lot of things in his life, but along the way he learned about the mercy and he learned about the love of God. Are others going to be able to look at our lives and learn similar lessons? James was able to look back in James 5 and in verse 11 and say, "Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." He learned something through that experience. And not only that, he became an example in that experience. One that I love and oftentimes used is found in the beginning of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and about verse 3 and 4. Paul is going to write there about some problems that he has faced in life. He'll be able to say, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." There's a twofold reasoning here. We have gone now through these struggles, through these difficulties, through these trials, through these storms of life. We've endured them. Now what do we learn from them? Well, first off, we understand now that we've grown, that we've benefited. When James says, "Count it all joy," I don't believe for a moment he says, "You go forth and you be happy, you be giddy, you be joyous, that you went through all of these problems in life, but certainly you be joyous in the fact that you recognize you benefited from it." He says, "I recognize I was comforted by God." Again, that bring that cycle around, that's going to help me trust in God next time even more. But he also says, not only did it benefit me, but it benefited others. I was able to take the comfort whereof I received of God and was able to comfort other people. Simple fact of life, the trials that we go through are similar to trials that other people go through. And so when I've endured something, am I going to be able to help others? I've endured some difficulties. I've endured the death of a loved one. I've endured the hurt of brothers and sisters, sometimes even of Christ or of those of the world. I've endured problems in life, financial, marital, all sorts of different things that we could look at. I've gone through some problems maybe with my children or maybe with my parents or something else. But you know what? All of those experiences helped me grow. And there's probably going to be someone else that I'll come in contact with in life that's going through some of the same things. Will you use the experiences you've gained to help others? Paul says, I'm thankful for the comfort that we received of God, that we now are able also to comfort others. As you look back, the storm's already passed. Think of those things now that you can use to help others that go through a similar storm later in their life. Will we use them even to their benefit? We are going to face storms in this life. We have the greatest instruction book here from God that tells us a lot about how we can face them, how we can prepare for them before they ever come, how we can endure them when we're going through the midst of them, and what we can do to even be built up even more, to grow from the result of those trials, those storms of our life. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into adverse temptations. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. We drop down even further to verse 12 of James chapter 1. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. Are you going to endure the trials of life? Are you going to hold up under them? Are you going to continue to be faithful no matter what comes in life? I hope in some way this has been a little more of a practical sermon that might help someone deal with some problems or difficulties that they'll face in life. And yet we have to understand, even as we talked about building that foundation, we have nothing to lean upon, we have nothing to hope in if we're not in Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I'm going to count the wise man upon the firm foundation as the one that hears my word and does it, Matthew 7 and verse 24. Are we going to listen to the words of God and put them into action in our life? Repent of our sins, confess Christ, be baptized, immersed into Him, and then continue in a life of faithfulness. Is there someone ready here today to begin that Christian walk, to be baptized into Christ? Maybe someone ready to be restored in a faithful relationship. The storms of life knocked you down and you quit walking with God. Want to put your faith and trust back in, maybe because of some trial of life. You need the prayers and support of others, the encouragement of even of the congregation here. Whatever that need might be, would you make that known even as together we stand and sing the song of invitation?